Animals are a part of most everyone's daily life. We connect with some as companions, others for entertainment, and still others for sustenance. Today we're going to explore those connections through the eyes of two folks who are part of the community we rely on to provide care for our animals. Dr. Carol McConnell of Nationwide and Dr. Rustin Moore of the Ohio State University are members of the veterinary profession and join us to talk about a wide range of animal issues today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
From getting rid of Fluffy's cough to keeping the nation's food supply safe, veterinarians are an important part of our society and economy. Today, we are honored to have as our guest Dr. Carol McConnell, Vice President and Chief Veterinary Officer for Nationwide, and Dr. Rustin Moore, Dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine for The Ohio State University. Dr. Moore is back in the studio with us while Dr. McConnell joins us by phone from her office out in California. Rustin, we'll welcome you back and start with you. Give us a quick overview of the College of Veterinary Medicine at Ohio State.
Sure. Our college is 134 years old, having been established in 1885, so it's pretty appropriate that as we approach the university sesquicentennial, which is 150-year anniversary in 2020, that I'm back and to really talk about the land-grant mission of our college, which is really about education, it's about research, it's about service, and it's about outreach. So those are some of the things, including we prepare the next generation of private practitioners, specialists, scientists, and people that work in many other sectors of the country.
And then you also provide veterinary services to clients, correct?
Absolutely. We have three hospitals in the Veterinary Medical Center on campus, and we have two satellite facilities, one for small animals in Dublin and one for large animal services in Marysville, Ohio. Last year, we provided care to over 43,000 pets in our hospitals and over 28,000 on farms across Ohio.
Also with us today is Dr. Carol McConnell. She's the Vice President and Chief Veterinary Officer for Nationwide. Dr. McConnell, we've had your CEO, Mr. Rasmussen, on the show multiple times. Some of the folks from Property and Casualty. We've had David Burson, your Chief Economist, on many, many times. Why does Nationwide have a Chief Veterinary Officer?
Well, a surprise for many of your listeners may be that Nationwide has actually had a pet insurance division for a number of years, in fact, going all the way back to 1982. The company was actually under the brand name Veterinary Pet Insurance at the time, but Nationwide was the underwriter of veterinary pet insurance all those years. The very first policy sold here in the United States was actually sold in 1982 to the TV show Dog Lassie, and has grown considerably, you know, since that time. In fact, has grown so well, and the idea of ensuring one's pet health has grown broadly over the 20 to 30 year that now Nationwide uses their brand name and retired the veterinary pet insurance brand name. So the folks like Steve Rasmussen there at Nationwide has known a long time about the pet division, although the public hasn't known about it until we did make that brand name change in 2015.
We're going to talk specifically about pet insurance in a little bit, Dr. McConnell, but talk a little bit about the functions that a veterinarian and your colleagues will have at Nationwide in furtherance of the mission of helping folks with pet insurance.
Well, sure. The number one, you know, mission or goal here is to enable best care for pets, and that is veterinarians are exceedingly well-trained individuals, and on the companion animal side, when we think of a Main Street, you know, animal hospital that treats dogs, cats, and also exotic pets, you know, we also cover rabbits and birds and stuff like that. Many times what limits the care is the ability to pay for services. And so I think Nationwide's board was truly insightful back in 1982 when they saw that to really make a difference for pets and to enable veterinarians to use that superb training that they have from places like Ohio State University there in Columbus, that we need to enable clients to be able to say yes to those treatment recommendations. And so it really does change the dynamics in that exam room.
I was visiting with some of your folks in preparation for this. They mentioned that you have an association with the Veterinary Business Management Association. Dr. Moore tells me that's a club on campus at Ohio State. Tell us more about that group.
Sure. The Veterinary Business Management Association, or VBMA for short, is actually a student-driven organization, and they have chapters on pretty much all of the veterinary school campuses across the United States. And they encourage lecturers in business or finance and practice management, experts to come to the campus and talk to the students on these topics and to supplement their education that's already provided by the university. Nationwide has been a founding sponsor of the VBMA since its inception in 2004, and so we're very, very proud to know that we have helped educate, literally, 15 years now of young veterinarians to expand their understanding of business and practice management.
Dr. Moore, we're going to talk more about some of the specific training to be a doctor that a veterinarian will receive, but I would suppose, and maybe there are some statistics, is the number of folks that graduate from Ohio State or other veterinary colleges and go out and form their own practice. It seems having this business training along with the medical training probably is pretty valuable to them.
Absolutely. Probably today, I would say fewer people go out and start their own practices than years past because of corporate veterinary medicine. However, there are some that really do. And we were one of the first colleges to implement a very robust, what we refer to as a professional development curriculum, which includes many of the things that were mentioned earlier about business management and practice management. We also provide a business minor program through the Fisher College of Business. We have about 15 to 20 students each year that take that during the summer, and that includes classwork, but also a capstone project. And those are the ones that are really probably more likely to go out and open their own practice.
Our guest with us today, Dr. Rustin Moore, the Dean of Ohio State University's College of Veterinary Medicine, in the studio with us, and on the telephone from California, Dr. Carol McConnell, Vice President and Chief Veterinary Officer for Nationwide. Let's talk a little bit about who becomes a veterinarian. When I was a kid, they were all guys. They all worked on horses and cattle and pigs and the pets at the same time. But as we look at who's becoming veterinarians today, Dr. Mora, what's that demographic look like now?
Well, the demographic has changed from back in the day. It used to be a male-dominated, and it's right now it's probably 75% to 80% incoming veterinary students as women. The profession is about 50-50 right now, based upon the number of men and women in it. Most veterinarians actually knew they wanted to be a veterinarian when they were probably 6 to 8 years of age. But then there are others who might have thought that, but then they went on and did some other career and then sort of remembered that they wanted to be a veterinarian and came back. This year we had 1,800 applicants for 162 seats, and most of the time our students come from about 26 states, and they also come with undergraduate or graduate degrees from probably 80 to 90 different institutions across the country, and even a few times internationally. So generally, it's people who have been around animals. They're kind, compassionate, caring, highly driven, highly focused. They sort of knew early on what their path was, and they stuck to it. And some of them didn't get in, but they kept trying over and over, and then they made it.
In my circles, an animal science bachelor's would be common leading into veterinary medicine. What other kinds of bachelor's degrees end up moving into vet med?
Pretty much anything. Biology, zoology, chemistry, history, pretty much any of them. What they have to have today is they have to take and pass our prerequisite courses, which do involve sciences. But even we have many that come from sort of the humanities and things and then come to us with those prerequisites. So it's all across the board. still the majority of them come through, I would say, either pre-veterinary and animal science, biology, or zoology.
So, Dr. McConnell, were you that young girl that Rustin just described? You knew early on you wanted to be a vet?
I think I fulfill that cliche, yes. I grew up here in California, and starting at age about 4 or 5, I knew I wanted to be a veterinarian. It's a difficult thing to pursue, just because at the time, you know, when I was young, as you guys were both discussing, it was a male-dominated profession. And so the idea of a young girl, you know, becoming a veterinarian was less likely back then. But as Dr. Moore was just stating, the demographics have shifted tremendously. And so it became more of a reality for me. And also, as Dr. Moore was saying, you know, any undergraduate major, as long as that person can navigate their way through the sciences. I did want to mention, too, as your listeners are hearing this discussion, is it's very easy for us to think about the mindset of a veterinarian through the lens of the companion animal practice on Main Street USA, if you will. And yet there are numerous other facets of what veterinarians do, far more than just, you know, dogs and cat medicine.
Go ahead and elaborate on that. What are some of the other areas that we won't necessarily see, but veterinarians are involved with on a regular basis?
Sure. I'm more than happy to throw out, you know, one or two examples, and then I'll defer to Dr. Moore, because he can certainly elaborate on this far more than I can. But a lot of veterinarians are actually in practice behind the scenes, and, you know, in the discovery process of medicine and the research, you know, what have you, you know, people who work to protect the animals and ensure their care, you know, in a research environment. Another example might be, you know, somewhat related to that is public health, people who work for the Centers of Disease Control in Atlanta, you know, who work on disease for surveillance and monitoring, you know, the public health of Americans. And then food safety, which I know you mentioned earlier, to make sure our food supply is safe. And a lot of people don't realize that when they're eating that hamburger or you know, a nice pork loin or what have you, that there's actually an entire system of animal health safety that requires veterinarians to ensure that those products come to market, you know, safely for Americans to consume. Dr. Moore, I'm sure there's a few others on the top of your tongue there.
Well, you certainly covered many of them. Certainly there's many positions that veterinarians fill in government, whether it's through USDA or APHIS. Certainly the military has a large number of veterinarians, biotech and pharma, certainly pet food companies and many others. Let's not forget academia, where many veterinarians go and help educate the next generation of veterinarians. And in addition to general practice, which is where most veterinarians end up, we also have specialists that train in a variety of fields, just like in human medicine. But we also have veterinarians that go in and help care for zoo, exotic, and wildlife, and many more.
Of course, one of the most common interactions that the most people will have with a veterinarian is when the dog or the cat or the lizard or whatever the beloved family pet is having some health issues. We're going to talk a little bit more about pets, humans, and a couple of veterinarians' perspectives on that subject. We'll be back with more of Town Hall, Ohio, right after this.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
$500 in bonus cash on eligible Ford vehicles. $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. All it takes is to be or become a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Bonus cash applies to purchases and leases. For all the program requirements and details, visit ofbf.org. Big bonus cash on new Fords and Lincolns exclusively for Ohio Farm Bureau members. Visit ofbf.org.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, this is John Merrihew, Director of Member Services for the Ohio Farm Bureau. Case IH is a proud supporter of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Working to build strong, prosperous agricultural communities, the Ohio Farm Bureau protects the future of your farm and your neighbor's farms all year long. And thanks to this strong partnership, Ohio Farm Bureau members receive a discount up to $500 on qualifying Case IH equipment. Choose from Case IH Farm All Series tractors, including Compact, Utility, and 100A Series, and Maxim Series tractors as well. Plus, save on hay and forage equipment like self-propelled windrowers, mower conditioners, and large square round balers. This discount may be used with other promotions, rebates, or offers. And it's available for every qualifying Case IH tractor and piece of equipment you purchase. Join Ohio Farm Bureau today to pocket up to $500 in savings. Get your discount by visiting ofbf.org.
When a dog won't bark and a cat won't purr, when a bird goes bonk or a turtle grows fur, when a rabbit's got a limp and an earache too, when a cow goes when she should go, when a horse gets hiccups and they just won't stop, when a fish is all red from a belly flop, when a gerbil has germs, you can bet that pet's gonna get much better when it sees the vet.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We're talking veterinary medicine, the animals that are cared for, and the people who own them, helping us tell that story. On the telephone from California, Dr. Carol McConnell, Vice President and Chief Veterinary Officer for Nationwide. And in the studio, the Dean of Ohio State's College of Veterinary Medicine, Dr. Rustin Moore. We were talking a little bit about some of the changes that have taken place in veterinary medicine. Rustin, as you look at the evolution of the practice of vet med, what are some things that stick out for you in terms of it's different today than it was when our dads and grandpas were in the business?
Sure. Well, actually, veterinary medicine started in the U.S. and in particular here in Ohio in 1885. And back then, it was really focused on the horse. And the horse was the means of transportation and the way that fields were plowed and harvested. Well, when the automobile came along, actually, the veterinary profession wondered what they might be doing, if anything. And it was really the booming agriculture, animal agriculture industry in Ohio that sort of moved them from the horse to livestock. And then I would say probably 30 or 40 years ago, with the humanization of pets and pets being part of our families, that actually now it's evolved even to there, and not just to general care, but actually specialist care, advanced care that's made possible through research.
Carol, let's follow up on something Rustin just said, the fact that I have a lot of friends who refer to their pets as members of their family, and they treat them as though they were their children. Talk a little bit about how you view that connection between people and the pets that they own or care for.
Well, sure. It definitely has evolved tremendously over the years. And I know when I grew up, even in a suburb out here in California, pets were often in the backyard, and we can do that out here because our climate is so great. What we've seen is pets moving from the barnyard, from a farm environment to the backyard in the suburb, to now, in the house and even in the bedroom. And so this migration is actually quite significant, and people do refer to their pets as family members. There is a group called the Human Animal Bond Research Institute, or HABRI for short, and they have cataloged a number of research initiatives that have come out of on the human side in the psychology of humans and mental health. the value of pets in not only companionship, but also in you know, helping the disabled or what have you, and people who may feel, you know, isolated or not have a reason to get up in the morning, and, you know, say someone who's retired or lives alone or what have you. We actually did a study here nationwide in conjunction with the Human Animal Bond Research Institute, and we focused on employees, people who are, you know, in the mainstream workplace. And the reason why is because our pet insurance, the number one place that people can actually buy nationwide pet insurance is through their employer, through, you know, open enrollment when they're getting their other benefits for the family, you know, health care for the kids, dental insurance, you know, for the tween daughter who may need, you know, orthodontia this year. And pet insurance is often, you know, on that list. And so in doing this research with the Human Animal Bond Institute, we found that 90% of employees who work in a pet-friendly workplace, meaning a place where the employer somehow acknowledges the pet in the household, whether it's through, you know, offering the pet insurance or even allowing pets to come to work, you know, one day a month or what have you, that 90% of those employees feel more highly engaged with their company and more, you know, a stronger relationship with their immediate manager and more willing to recommend their place of employment to others.
Rustin, I know you're a big proponent of examining that impact on the human that the pet has that Carol mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I talk a lot about what I refer to as the power of a pet, and it's really about the positive health impact on humans simply with interacting with a pet. You don't actually have to own one or be a pet parent. You can actually do it through intermittent interaction, and there's been a lot of research, as Carol mentioned, in areas of physical, mental, social, behavioral, emotional, and psychological benefits. Everything from autism to Alzheimer's to post-traumatic stress syndrome, lower blood pressure, weight loss, and many other factors. And there's it's not just dogs and cats. There's actually work being done that's shown with Alzheimer's and dementia, and actually even with PTSD in veterans, that equine-assisted therapy has similar impacts on that. There was actually a study done a couple of years ago that shows the financial impact. And for those people who had a dog compared to those who didn't, there was a $12 billion savings in healthcare costs simply associated with reduced office calls. Had nothing to do with all the costs associated with hospitalization. Simply fewer office calls or physicians' appointments for people who had a dog versus those who didn't. So a lot of reasons to embrace that. And I somewhat kiddingly say, but I actually see this coming where pets will be a prescription from a physician in certain instances.
That's phenomenal. Carol, we only have 30 seconds, so we'll have to come back after the break. But if the animals are so good for us, we need to have them in our home. We need to take care of them. And sometimes it can be costly. So give me the 30-second version of what pet insurance is.
Oh, well, it helps alleviate the cost of care, and it enables you to say yes to your veterinarian when they make a treatment recommendation in that examination room, which is, of course, what everybody wants to do, because we do love these animals like family members.
Well, we're going to give you a little bit more of an extended opportunity to talk about pet insurance when we continue. Dr. Carol McConnell of Nationwide, Dr. Rustin Moore of Ohio State University, we'll be back right after this.
If I refuse, when he brings his tools in with him, it's veterinary rhythm, my veterinary rhythm and blues.
We're talking animal care with veterinarians Rustin Moore and Carol McConnell. Carol is with Nationwide Insurance. Dr. Rustin Moore is the dean of the vet school at The Ohio State University. I've been around veterinarians and members of the OVMA long enough to know that the techniques and technologies that they now employ just do wonders, Carol, in terms of being able to provide care for the animals, but they're costly. Talk about how pet health insurance can offset that cost. How does it work? Do you just go out and buy a generic health care policy, or do you insure against certain risks? How's it work?
Well, first you go out and buy a nationwide policy.
Ah, of course.
Pet health insurance is something that has been around, as I said, from 1982. We were the first to establish pet insurance in the United States, and needless to say, we've been the market leader and the largest since. And typically, pet insurance is something that you can research on your own, whether online or what have you, and make the decision and buy, you know, buy online or call us. We have an 800 number. Or you learn about it through your employer. As I was saying in your earlier segment, we now have over, 7,000 employers across the United States that offer pet insurance through their open enrollment process. So while you're signing up for health care for your family, you're signing up for health care coverage for your pet. And so the way it works is you go to the veterinarian of your choice. We're not prescriptive at all or telling you where to go. And then you decide with the veterinarian on what treatments you want to do for your pet. We, again, don't get involved in what you choose to do. And then pay for services and send us your invoice along with a very quick little claim form, or you can even take a picture of it using your phone, a certain app that we have that can then just route electronically on in to us. And our policies typically have an annual deductible. Our flagship product is called Whole Pet. It's a $250 annual deductible, and thereafter we pay 90% of eligible expenses.
One more time, Carol, and then we'll let you go. We know you're busy out there, but if folks want to learn more about nationwide pet insurance, where's the best place to go? I assume the website will do the trick.
Sure. Petinsurance.com.
All right,
just like that. Petinsurance.com. So thank you so much for asking.
Thanks for being with us today. We're going to let you get back to doing what you do as Chief Veterinary Officer for Nationwide. Dr. Carol McConnell on the telephone with us from out in California. Dr. Rustin Moore is in the studio. He's the Dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine. This whole cost thing, Dr. Moore, whether it's taking care of the family cat or puppy or helping take care of the livestock herd, As a veterinarian, how do you look at that question of being able to provide the best service possible, but also recognizing that it's growing in cost?
Yeah, well, certainly with inflation and certainly medical inflation, the costs of whether it's human health care or veterinary care are certainly going up. I think the important thing, probably both for companion animals, but also for livestock and horses, is probably it's a better investment for preventive care than to wait until an animal is ill or injured or whatever, because that's where the costs really go up. Certainly, we see many advanced types of diseases that in the past weren't treatable, whereas with technology, they are. I'll give you an example, cancer. Dogs get a lot of cancer. Many of those cancers are just like the cancers that we see in people. Dogs live in the same environments as people. And actually what we know is that a naturally acquired cancer in a dog is a much better model of research in clinical trials than, say, a mouse or a rat. So a lot of the advances that have been made in just this one example of cancer care in pets actually also benefits people, because they're looking at new therapies that can move along in the pipeline. So cost for pet care or livestock care can be quite expensive. Certainly on the livestock side, I think the preventive piece actually will not only help prevent disease, but will actually help the bottom line in terms of productivity and profit.
We want to follow up on that. We got about a minute and a half or a minute here. I want to back up to, we were talking a little bit about who goes into veterinary medicine. One thing that I've learned, the amount of training is phenomenal. Pretty much anything that my GP or maybe some of my human medical specialists, veterinarians have to know that, but for multiple species, for patients that can't answer questions.
Absolutely. I sort of think of veterinary care much like pediatric care, where we're actually not being able to communicate directly with the patient, but we have to go through the client or the pet parent. We also have to know about multiple different species. But the other thing that I think is even more remarkable is we also have to understand human health, because there are many diseases that they're called zoonotic diseases or infectious diseases that are transmitted from animals to people. About 70% of the emerging or re-emerging infectious diseases that occur over and over again, whether it's Ebola or SARS or any of those types of rabies, infectious diseases, actually veterinarians are better trained and are in sort of in that position to help both on the animal care or prevention and the human health care.
We want to follow up on that whole interaction between human and animal health and also environmental health when we continue our conversation. Our guest is Dr. Rustin Moore, Dean of the OSU College of Veterinary Medicine. He'll be back right after this.
To some, that sound means the day is ruined. To a farmer, it's the sound of life sustained. Every farmer understands the value of clean water. Ohio Farm Bureau understands it too. So on behalf of our members, we've invested millions of dollars through research and action to help improve clean water for all of us. To learn more on how you can join our efforts, visit farmersforwater.org today.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
We believe in food.
Grown in the fields of Ohio.
In clean air and water.
And in preserving farmland forever.
We believe in opportunities for the next generation.
For nearly 100 years,
Ohio Farm Bureau has been bringing people together.
Join us in the journey.
Together.
Together.
Together with farmers.
Visit togetherwithfarmers.org.
Have you heard about the Ohio Farm Bureau Energy Program? Eligible members are saving an average of 15% on their electric and natural gas bills. The program works through a network of suppliers to secure cost-saving pricing in competitive electric and natural gas regions. We've heard from members who've saved hundreds of dollars annually on their energy costs. Getting started is easy. Simply call the Energy Program customer service line, 800-830-3501, and our representative will assist you from there, 800-830-3501. You can also visit ofbf.org/savings to learn more.
Whenever you need her, she'll be there. So please thank a veterinarian.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. In the studio with us, Dr. Rustin Moore, Dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine at Ohio State University. We've been talking with you and Dr. McConnell from Nationwide, largely in the pet space. But in Ohio, our listeners who pay attention to this show on a weekly basis know that we have a lot of cattle, dairy animals, sheep. We have pigs, poultry, all kinds of food animals in the Buckeye State. One of the challenges facing us, though, Dr. Moore, is people want to come in and be a cat doctor or a dog doctor, but that large animal practitioner, they're kind of a, I don't want to say dying breed, but they're dwindling in numbers, aren't they?
Yeah, I would say certainly rural veterinarians are dwindling. I don't know so much about really food animal or farm animal. We still have a number of students, and we have them from Ohio, but we certainly have them from other states that come in. That's what they want to do, and they stick with that, but it is a relatively small number. That does not solve the issues that we have in the state of Ohio, where there are areas around the state that are underserved by veterinarians, not just farm animal, but all animal. And those tend to be in lower socioeconomic areas and areas where, you know, many of our students today are not coming from rural America. They're coming from urban or urban areas. And it's pretty difficult to get someone that maybe grew up in Columbus or New York City or whatever to go live somewhere in Southeast Ohio or in West Virginia, in my case, you know, Appalachia, because of culture and what they're used to. And actually, the other important thing is trying to pay back their educational debt.
Are there programs in place, whether they're from the university or outside sources, that help offset that lack of willingness to go into rural areas? Are we doing some things to entice or incentivize that?
Yes, there are some things being done at the federal level. There's federal loan repayment programs where if people will go into areas that are considered underserved, and in our state, that's determined by the state veterinarian, They will provide funding for up to 3 years for someone to stay in that area. That's great, but if they don't come from that area, many times after that loan repayment and their service there, they move on somewhere else. We have been working hard to try to build a pipeline from those areas, because if they come from those areas, they're more likely to go back. And we also have been focusing our philanthropic efforts at the college on scholarships. And so in the last 5 years, we've increased the amount of philanthropically derived scholarships that we distribute from $350,000 to $2.1 million, which is about a 540% increase. And we target those for need-based and for those who, like coming from those areas, that wouldn't necessarily be able to afford it.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the concerns that some people in the public have about food animals. And it's a worry, a concern, that those animals that end up as our steaks and pork chops and chicken wings aren't maybe being cared for as well as they should. What's the role of a veterinarian in an industry where we know the animal's going to end up as food, but we want to provide it the most comfortable life possible? How do vets weigh into that, get involved in that?
Well, and different veterinarians probably have different perspectives. Certainly, there are veterinarians who are vegan or vegetarian, and that's great. I think certainly in Ohio has been a leader in that area with the establishment of the Ohio Livestock Care Standards Board. That works with the director of the Ohio Department of Agriculture and the state veterinarian. And really, veterinarians are involved in almost all aspects of animal-derived food products. So certainly maintaining the welfare standards and the health standards are very important, whether it's confinement operation or whether it's, you know, free-ranging. There are animal welfare issues, but I want to ensure the public that for the most part, there's somebody there looking out for the health and welfare of that animal.
And then on the more broad, you need to make sure that a potential animal health issue on a farm doesn't spread and become an epidemic and create problems widespread. So talk a little bit about that surveillance and prevention thing.
That's a really big and important topic. Certainly, people may recall that a few years ago, avian influenza came into neighboring states. Fortunately, it didn't land on us. Actually, the groups that are most at risk for that are actually backyard flocks of chickens or poultry that's not in confinement. And then it could spread into that. And those can result in mass deaths or mass euthanasia and can really decimate the actual industry, whatever that is. So we do have surveillance programs in place. We do a lot of surveillance around porcine or swine flu, as well as avian influenza. But also, we're the front lines. Veterinarians are the front lines against things that aren't even in our country yet, but could be, like African swine fever, foot and mouth disease. It was actually, you know, back 20-some years ago when West Nile virus came into the U.S., it was a veterinarian who noticed birds dropping out of the sky dead and made the diagnosis of West Nile virus, which, as you know, affects people as well as animals.
We'll be back to wrap up our conversation with Ohio State's Dean of its College of Veterinary Medicine, Dr. Rustin Moore, right after this.
For farmers and small business owners looking for quality, affordable health care for themselves and employees, the Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan may be your solution. The plan is available for employers with fewer than 100 employees and sole proprietors who have employees, are headquartered in Ohio, and operate within the farm-to-fork sector. To learn more about qualifications and plan details, visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. A quality, affordable health care option. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
Ohio Farm Bureau is proud to announce its new partnership with the Ford Motor Company, and it's good news for Farm Bureau members. Members get $500 in bonus cash on eligible new Ford cars and trucks, or $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. Not a member? Well, join now, and in 30 days, you're eligible. For complete information on program details, visit ofbf.org.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car-home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich, full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest working boot. Go to georgiaboot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
We believe in food.
Grown in the fields of Ohio.
In clean air and water.
And in preserving farmland forever.
We believe in opportunities for the next generation.
For nearly 100 years,
Ohio Farm Bureau has been bringing people together.
Join us in the journey.
Together.
Together.
Together with farmers.
Visit togetherwithfarmers.org.
Have you heard about the Ohio Farm Bureau Energy Program? Eligible members are saving an average of 15% on their electric and natural gas bills. The program works through a network of suppliers to secure cost-saving pricing in competitive electric and natural gas regions. We've heard from members who've saved hundreds of dollars annually on their energy costs. Getting started is easy. Simply call the Energy Program customer service line, 800-830-3501, and our representative will assist you from there, 800-830-3501. You can also visit ofbf.org/savings to learn more.
There are too many TV dramas about doctors and their doctor pals, but not nearly enough about doctors of animals. So let's start a TV drama all about vets.
Dr. Rustin Moore is our guest. He's the dean of Ohio State's College of Veterinary Medicine. We talk on this show, Dr. Moore, pretty regularly about agriculture's impact on the Ohio economy. I know you've done some looking into the veterinary profession's impact on the Buckeye economy. What are some of the things you've learned?
Sure. In 2017, we did a study and we found that from a jobs perspective, if you look across the entire profession, veterinary services provides about 23,000 jobs per year or at any one time. And looking more broadly across all animal-related fields related to veterinary medicine, about 93,000. We also know that wages were about $800 million for those providing veterinary services and up to $3.8 billion across those same areas. So the total economic impact on the state of veterinary medicine is about $13 billion.
And it's great that we've got veterinarians willing to come be a part of the community and help us all out. It takes a lot of work to become a veterinarian. It takes a lot of money to become a veterinarian. Are you trying to address that in some way?
Yeah, well, we have one of the highest tuitions of any college of veterinary medicine. We're the only college of veterinary medicine in Ohio, one of 30 across the U.S. We have the highest or near highest tuition, which is directly related to having the lowest or near lowest amount of state support. But we are trying to recruit and help those students by controlling tuition costs. We've held tuition down to no more than 2% per year the last 6 years, And we've also done really well at providing scholarship dollars.
Does that limit, though? Do you find that's a limiting factor in getting some really smart people to come into the profession?
Absolutely. We did have 1,800 applicants, as I said, but many of those go elsewhere. Actually, it's cheaper for a student that lives in Ohio to go to two of our top five peers, and they can go there as out-of-state students and pay less than paying in-state tuition here.
So a couple weeks ago, we had one of your colleagues at the university in here, Gene Smith, came in. And it's pretty easy to measure the success of a football or a basketball team or an athletics program. How do you measure the success of what you're doing in the vet school at Ohio State?
Number of ways. We certainly look at graduation rate. We look at the percentage of students that pass the national licensing exam. We also look at reputational surveys. And so we've been ranked in the top five for over a decade by U.S. News and World Report. And just this year, we moved up to number four. And there's a QS international ranking system where we rank number three among U.S. colleges and number eight in the world. And only 5 years ago, we weren't even ranked in the top 25. So I think it's about reputation and about how others view you. I think the bigger thing about than an actual survey or ranking is what we want is for other people to emulate what we do. That doesn't mean a ranking of number one, but when they think about what are they doing in research or teaching or outreach extension, they look to us. And so we have a new five-year strategic plan, and really it's pretty ambitious. It's to be the model comprehensive college of veterinary medicine in the world, impacting animal and human health through innovation, collaboration, and excellence.
None of you folks at Ohio State have like a low bar on the goals, it seems.
No, we don't, and certainly not at the College of Veterinary Medicine.
So we've got about a minute left here, Dr. Moore. For families whose kids are contemplating what kind of career they might take on, whether it's 5 years from now or 15 years down the road, why consider veterinary medicine?
Veterinary medicine is simply a wonderful profession, and there's so many opportunities. We've talked about some of them. And actually, the good thing is that if you do something for 10 or 15 years and you're sort of tired of that, there's so many other avenues that you can take. And certainly my career has had those sort of, you come to a Y in the road and you go a different direction. It's very fulfilling. And what I have found as I've moved into administration, and my colleagues say, well, don't you miss practice and all that? And I can truly say no. And I think the reason for that is when I was a veterinarian who was practicing, I was caring for horses in my case. But I think the pleasure I got out of it was really serving people. I certainly tell people veterinary medicine is a people profession. The animal or the pet is sort of the vehicle for which you provide the service. So if you don't like people, you shouldn't probably consider a career in veterinary medicine.
Thanks for being with us. We'll have to have you back again.
Look forward to it. Thanks again.
Dr. Rustin Moore, Dean of Ohio State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. I hope you were with us earlier in the show. On the phone with us from California, Dr. Carol McConnell, the VP and Chief Veterinary Officer for Nationwide. Very interesting conversation today, and we hope you'll enjoy it. We hope you'll be back at the same time next week for more Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.